Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and listening. We've got Larry on his phone down south there. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Oh, hanging in, Stuart.
Good. I've got some house cleaning I want to get into, and then I'm going to read a little short story for everyone, but let's go with house cleaning first. We have, because of extreme importance of it, offered a free PDF of The Mystery of Christ. All you got to do is just click on the link on the Lightgate blogger website. It's right on the front page. You just scroll down a little and you can find it. And so far, only one person has taken a look at it. And they're from Australia. It's almost like American Christians are not interested in this stuff at all, which is very, very sad, considering the prophecies against America, and especially the prophecies against American Christians. Anyway, you just click on the link, or you can email me at enigma@trueinsight.com, and I'm kind of curious why people are so afraid of the truth, but I guess it is. Anyway, stay tuned also for more Salvation 101, our attempts to wake people up to the actual and real dangers they are in because of the fake gospel of salvation that's out there. Remember that Jesus, Paul, John, and Peter all warned about this fake gospel that would come along. And it would be very, very popular, and a vast majority of Christians would buy into it and be turned into eternal ruin. Frightening stuff, all convinced that they were going to heaven. How can that actually happen? It's right in the Bible, folks. You can read it. They were absolutely convinced. Jesus said, they knowest not that they're not going to go to heaven. They're convinced, actually, they are. And this is what this, the PDF for The Mystery of Christ is free as a PDF. If you want to get it in paperback, it's also available. $17.95 includes the shipping and handling. And it's a very, very important look. And it examines exactly what the Bible talks about. And for whatever reason, we're in the great apostasy, which the Bible also warned was coming. And the apostasy is not only about prophecy and who we are and who the players are at the end times. It also deals with the apostasy from salvation and the delusion that God gives because of it. Anyway, you can also visit our membership site. There's a free side. There's a paid side. If you want tons of information, it's $9.95 a month, and that's less than popcorn or chips most people would buy for a week. And, of course, the truth is much better for you. So anyway, Salvation 101 series, so simple that even a Neanderthal can understand it, part two, but it's not for snowflake caveman folks. John 5, you may remember in our last program, if you missed it, go back and listen. It's right at the very beginning of the show. We told you about John 5. We read it. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me. He's talking about himself as a person. That you might have life. Then John 3, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In John 6:37, we read to you, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So, anyway, with all that in mind, I'm going to read a short story. Once upon a time, there was a kingdom, long ago now, in which the king of the kingdom had a son. And his son had decided to take a bride for to wed. And the invitation was offered to all in the kingdom's people to attend the wedding. In this invitation were the instructions and the directions that the king and his son had decided upon that must be followed if one wanted to join in the festivities of the great wedding day. Son had also decided upon how he was going to select his bride out of the kingdom, and this was also in the announcement for the great event. There was great buzz all around the kingdom as the announcement was given. But as time went on, as the wedding date was afar in the future, the excitement wore off and things basically returned back to normal. However, there were those who wanted to attend or even become the bride, so they acted upon the instructions given and followed the directions to the location. When they arrived at the place given, they found a wall surrounding that location, and there was only a very narrow gate that was extremely difficult to go through, so most of the people became very angry, began to murmur against the king and his son, saying, "This is too difficult for us. This is too difficult to do. The instructions must be wrong." And so they refused to go any further. But some, however, persisted, and they went through the gate. They struggled through it and down the steep and dangerous stairway to a low room. And when they knocked on the door, it was opened, and there they met the king's son, who gave them a glowing white robe, and he told them to keep it a secret and to wear it only on that great day. And it was put into a sealed box to cover the robe, and then they left happy and full of joy, for they knew the truth of it all. Now the word spread about how difficult it was, and so the hucksters began to show up at the gate, and they said that the king's instructions were wrong. They had been totally misinterpreted, and the command to pick up white robes for the wedding were also wrong. Further, they claimed that the instructions for attire were also wrong, and their white robes were approved by the kings, and they represented him. They called them faith and belief robes. Now, the hucksters got extremely wealthy as they sold their white robes by the millions through time, and then the great day arrived. Millions began to show up at the castle of the king for the ceremony, and the king and his son watched the huge crowds gathering. The king turned to his son and said, "What is wrong, my son?" And the son answered and said, "These people do not have on the robes that I personally gave them. I gave them to my bride. They must be imposters. They do not belong here at all." And as the hour drew near, a few people began to show up with brilliant white robes, so bright it was even difficult to look at them. "Here are my true ones," the son said to his father. "These are they that entered the straight gate. These are the ones who walked the narrow way down to my low room. And there I met them, and I personally gave them their robes and spoke to them. My robes cover them. I know them. I spoke to them. I called them by name. I called them out one by one, and I know them. The others, I know not. Send them away." open the gates for my true disciples, and the other ones, keep them out. And so it was. And after the last brilliant wearer of a robe entered the castle, the door was shut, and there was a brilliant flash of light, and the multitude stuck outside watched brilliant white lights rise up into the air, and they vanished from sight. Those left behind began to realize that they had been deceived by the faith alone hucksters and turned upon them with a horrible vengeance. The skies then began to grow very dark and ominous. The sound of approaching trouble grew ever louder, and a great fear took place on all those that were left behind. And so it was. So what's the moral of the story? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Anyway, that is the end of the story. Where do you want to start, Larry? We got a lot on earth changes. Should we start there, maybe?
Well, we could. Go ahead.
Okay, this is from Stan Deo's site. He's got a list up. Just listen to this. Now, this is from around the world. I mean, if you look out, we're in a blizzard right now where I am, and in Wisconsin. And blizzard warnings are for tonight and all day tomorrow, I guess. And things are changing everywhere. Anyway, hot blob in ocean killed a million birds. Washington's snow something pass buried under 6.7 feet of snow in 6 days. Nearly 10 feet since January 1st. 11.8 feet at Stevens Pass. Storm to explode into bomb cyclone offshore of New England before eyeing Canada. There is so much snow in the Idaho right now, it almost buried a fuel truck. Despair and destruction in Carbargo, New South Wales. Most people are running dead. A burnt-out town issued a plea for help. Australians responded in droves. Supercell to descend on Australia. Severe thunderstorms, flash flooding, hail, and tornado warnings issued for Monday. Now a mega dust storm races through Australia. Hundreds of thousands of fish dead in New South Wales as brush fire ash washed into the river. Largest rainfall in month expected over the weekend. Isn't that amazing? What do you think, Larry? I think these are warnings.
We're nowhere near normal anymore. It's all gone berserk.
Yeah, it really has. And here's another little article. It's not very long. I'd like to read. Are we witnessing the prophecy of Joel begin to unfold before our eyes? And I thought this was worth looking at because I think there's two ways you can look at this prophecy of Joel. In the Word of God, there is an ominous warning, and this is by Ricky Scaparo, ominous warning regarding the last days and how it appears to indicate that humanity would experience violent volcanic eruptions in the earth prior to the coming of the Lord. In fact, the following passage of the book of Joel gives us an image of what this will look like. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming and the great and awesome day of the Lord. Joel 2:30 through 31. The prophet indicated that when this event began to unfold, we would witness eruptions that would be so great that the ash cloud of the eruptions would black out the sun during the day and cause the moon to be blood at night. I remember back in the Gulf War when Saddam was saying set fires in the oil fields in Iraq, and the images depicted on mainstream news showing the blood looking, the moon looking like blood from the fires and smoke that burned through the night. The only other thing that this could be attributed to, and I'd like your opinion on this, Larry, so we have volcanic activity. The only other thing I can think of is nuclear bombs. What do you think?
Yeah, that would be true. But we've got a lot of magma movement and volcano activity everywhere. I mean, absolutely, not just the Ring of Fire, but I mean, they're popping up everywhere. And there is a lot of pressure on this, the Puerto Rican region plate.
Yes.
And it goes all the way back up out into the Pacific.
Yeah, and it's that's working too. Here's some of the other part of Joel that is really kind of interesting. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my manservants and maidservants, and I will pour out my spirit in those days. So what's he talking about? He's talking about that as we near the end and people really begin to see all this stuff coming practically on their doorstep, that they'll begin to wake up a little bit. And then more and more as things get worse and worse. You have only one escape. You're in a matrix. You really are. It's a frequency matrix. You're locked into it. Almost all of us have buried a relative, a loved one, a dad or a mom or a grandparent, some even remorsefully a child. They don't get out of here alive. It was never meant to be this way. Never meant to be this way. There's a reason for it. We are under lockdown. In fact, if you study the scripture, you'll find the entire universe is under a lockdown. Nobody gets out of here alive. We only have two or three people in the scriptures that bypass that situation. Anyway, very, very serious stuff. And here's a little article. Larry, I'd like to comment on it. Seven major earth changes that are happening right now that everyone needs to know about. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Number one, according to NASA, solar activity has dropped to the lowest level in 200 years. The forecast for the next solar cycle says it will be the weakest of the last 200 years. The minimum of this cycle, measured in terms of sunspot number, a standard measure of solar activity, could be 30 to 50% lower than the most recent ones. The results show that the next cycle will start in 2020, and I believe it's already started, hasn't it, Larry?
Well, we've seen the precursor events, the beginnings of the sunspots, so it's the new solar cycle is beginning, but it's we're in the very, very early stages.
And it's very, very weak, and folks, when the solar activity becomes weak and the solar wind becomes weak, that's when the problems start, because your cosmic waves from the Milky Way and from deep space outside the Milky Way can come into the solar system and they begin to bombard the Earth. And also while that is going on, it also has traditionally meant that we're going to get very cold and very snowy winters. That's exactly what we're seeing right now. Let's see. Any comment on that one, Larry? It just seems like, you know, you guys are even getting hammered down there. Maybe not with snow, but bad stuff.
Yeah, we've had our snow and sleet, and we just barely missed an ice storm. So we're kind of in a shooting gallery.
Yeah. Okay, number three. Meanwhile, the oceans of the world just keep getting hotter and hotter. In fact, ocean temperatures off the California coast have been setting new all-time record highs. It's odd this is taking place at a time of low solar activity, but according to NBC News, this is definitely happening. Okay. Have you heard any more about the ocean currents? Remember, there was a scientist over in England, I think, who said that and he proved it, that the ocean currents had really slowed down, and in some places it actually stopped and were just eddying, going round and round, and I guess they've picked up again. Have you heard any more about that at all? I haven't.
No. When it slowed down and began to change everything, I haven't heard that any of it had reverted back to normal.
Okay. Number four, wildfires. Wildfires that we've never seen anything like before. All you got to do, folks, is look at a map of where the wildfires are in Australia. And I got a feeling what's happening in Australia is going to happen here as well. Now, they did find out, I guess. Larry, do you know? They arrested, I thought, like 200 people or something that were setting these fires over there?
Yeah, that's what I had heard. And some of them, there are some behind-the-scenes data that seems to indicate that it might be some type of terrorism, and of course, we're even suspicious of all the fires we've had here.
Yeah, particularly the ones out in California, folks, where it burns just a block or two blocks or three blocks, doesn't touch the trees, stops at a line like a knife had cut it. Some folks would say that looks very much like laser weaponry, microwave-directed energy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Number five, during the first half of 2020, volcanoes all over the world have been roaring to life and have been shooting giant clouds of ash miles into the sky. For example, in the Philippines, the Taal volcano shot ash 9 miles high on Sunday, and it's been shooting scorching hot lava a half a mile into the air. And the ground around the volcano is now starting to crack wide open. What's your sense on that, Larry? Remember, Noyes had to say about huge volcanic eruptions going off.
I would be concerned, Stuart, that if that ground is cracking wide open, that possibly magma below is rising.
Yeah, that may turn into, in fact, they just found a super volcano, the largest caldera on Earth. I can't remember where it was. And some of these super volcanoes, like Long Valley, Yellowstone, are all coming back to life. You're just not hearing about it. So with that article on the clouds, that look like palm trees of smoke, that's what a volcano actually does look like when it shoots off like that. Number seven, on top of everything Earth, the Earth magnet or the magnetic field is steadily weakening, and not only weakening, it's moving very rapidly. This is all bad news. This is all signs of the approach of the destroyer. It's all signs of the approach of the cosmic waves that Dr. Paul LaViolette talked about. And there's lots of these things going on. In fact, we've already had several waves, Mike, from around the world. Now, a lot of people don't believe him, but most of what he has to say has been verified scientifically. And he's talked about these waves coming through, and I think there's been three or four of them. And Dr. Paul LaViolette said that this is what happens when these things come through. They alter the DNA, and you begin to get genetic mutations. And I have been reading about more and more babies being born that are genetically malformed. The Book of Enoch talks about that very thing, that women would start giving birth to what they called monsters. Totally DNA altered. It's altered through radiation. And this is what we're going into. This is why Jesus Christ came here, folks. He came here to bail everybody out that would come to him. And instead, what are we doing? We're mocking him. Any comments on earth changes before we move into something else?
Yeah, you mentioned radiation, and right now, I've been following space weather, and
yes,
solar radiation and the radiation around this planet is just absolutely increasing in the atmosphere, and especially off the West Coast now.
Yeah, and it can only get worse. And I do know that we've had reports of strange smells. We had them off the coast of New Jersey, New York, up in Maine area. We've had them off a number of places, and that is methane rising. There's something going on. Your friend, the prophet, Johansson, he talked about the disquieting in the center of the earth, right? If I remember right?
Well, he did, and what's interesting is the last few years, that's what scientists are certainly saying is occurring. It's changes below the earth.
Well, yeah, the core. I'm not sure we know what the core of the planet is, really. I mean, some say it's just a giant ball of sort of liquid iron rotating round and round. Others claim the core is actually a plasma ball. Both will produce a magnetic field like we have on Earth. Where do you want to move to now? We got so much going on. I know you've got a new Bible code. Why don't we get into that?
Well, it's kind of interesting, actually, Stuart. It's a code from Barry Rothman. He actually enlarged on the one that I read, the last program, Dead Ayatollah.
Mm-hmm.
He actually enlarged on that one. And so I won't really go through all those unless you just want me to. I read both of them. But
yep.
He actually found another matrix, which he added to that, and its matrix is a combination of two in a way. And here's the interesting terminology. Number one, atomic holocaust. Number two, Korea. Number three, North. Number four, Trump. Number five, president. Number six, Persia. Now, we know Persia is Iran, basically. And
yep.
Then there was another short one he ran that dovetailed into that called the matrix. It says, number one, atomic holocaust. Number two, prevention. A very strange word popped up in that matrix. Number three, president. Now, here's what I'll tell you what Barry Rothman kind of concluded a little bit in his research, and
mm-hmm.
get your comments, because he began to look at a lot of this stuff about the time frame we're in, talking about the Ayatollah, the Mahdi, Iran and war and protest and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, both of them had the year 5780, which is 2020, and
mm-hmm.
And then ties in with atomic holocaust. And you know where we are right now, in the Middle East, where it's really on a tremendous tension going on. But
yep.
Barry Rothman actually kind of incorporated one he recently ran, which is Donald Trump and the U.S. Space Force, And basically what Barry Rothman seemed to conclude is, because of the word prevention showing up in the codes, he believes it's very possible that, just before the atomic holocaust happens, or the World War III in the Middle East or whatever, to where nukes
mm-hmm.
are going to be involved, that suddenly Trump, because he's brought this U.S. Space Force out of hiding, I guess you could say, or out of the black project, because it was already operating, but he brought it out and identified it and put it into motion. And anyway, it's interesting that he believes that either Donald Trump uses this Space Force and possibly the TR-3B or the secret craft, and, you know, to actually prevent the atomic holocaust itself by some type of attack, or he says it would have to be an ET intervention to stop it.
Wow. Well, there's your arrival, and we have had those people who seem to think that we start to get into a war and the so-called ET come to save us and stop it. Very, very interesting. Of course, we've had the TR-3Bs now for some time. We've even had videos of them all over the world, basically. People are, so we know that that's true. And if I remember, I think today or yesterday, they installed the first commander of the U.S. Space Fleet. A general, I guess, of something like that. That's fascinating, though, because it's right on time with what we're going to get into here on Iran. Before we do that, I want to touch on the Virginia thing, and you mentioned the Mahdi. Now, we've thought maybe that what's going on in Virginia, now moving to North Carolina in ways and elsewhere, is a false flag event in the making. And we've been warned about, I think the 20th is when they're going to have their big, big rally. And Governor Northam is kind of hiding himself, as these rulers do when the people they rule over get angry. So they go hide. Anyway, it says, I wanted to read this, Larry. This is maybe very, very important, and it ties right back into what this Mahdi and what you were reading on the Bible codes. Virginia State Police officer just made shocking claim about who is really behind the state's anti-gun emergency. It's no shock that leftists in the state of Virginia have been waging an all-out war against the Second Amendment and have thought to destroy the ability of its citizens to defend their lives, liberty, and property. The only thing I can pick out on this one is that's not really what the Second Amendment is for. The Second Amendment, yes, it does allow you to protect yourself and your family and your liberty. It's designed to put down by force, if you have to, a renegade government that's taking away your freedoms, that's taking away everything. I'll get back to the article. After all, an armed populace can't be forced to comply with laws and policies that limit their freedom and force them to engage in immoral activity if they are armed. A Virginia State Police officer has come out and made a very disturbing, shocking statement about who he believes is behind the entire Governor Northam anti-gun emergency. According to him, it's former President Barack Obama. From InfoWars, Obama does have a history of muscling into states and local level issues. Case in point, the former president created a task force on 21st century policing back in 2014, which was intended to place more federal control over local police. And this is where I want to get into the power of the sheriff. And Larry knows this very well. The sheriff, folks, is the supreme law, believe it or not, of each county above the federal government. The feds don't like this at all, but there it is. He is the supreme law. He can kick out any federal agent he wants and any state agent he wants. He does not necessarily have to comply with all of these edicts that are coming out, basically, of the United Nations. All of this, as I've told you before, is part of State Department document 7277 and the UN takeover of America. And it's working, according to Hoyle. It's working very well. They're going to do it. Anyway, what's your comment with that, Larry, that Obama's behind that? And remember, we had some clerics over there in Iran who were saying that they thought Obama was, in fact, the 12th Ayman, the Mahdi, and he would come back into power.
We've heard that, and you asked me my comment. Let me read you something that just popped up on Breitbart News today. I have seen the last week or two some references, but this is as clear as you can make it. I'm sure you've watched. Did you ever watch any of the Homeland series shows?
Yes, I've seen some of them.
Okay.
And I saw the trailer you sent up.
Okay. Well, interestingly, Homeland is going into its final season. They had actually not had a series sent for the last 2 years, and that was after the Obama administration. And what's interesting is that, do you remember, I don't think you got to watch it, but I watched it twice. They came out during the last of Obama's shows with something called CIA and the Crosshairs. Remember that?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Okay. They had a lot of trouble after they put that out, and that also showed a lot of information in it. They used a lot of information from Snowden and a lot of what he had leaked about what the NSA and the government was currently doing. Anyway, listen to this. This is a Breitbart headline today, actually, Friday. It says, Obama's CIA, led by John Brennan, held secret meetings with stars of Showtime's Homeland series. It says secret meeting with intelligence officials at the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. And anyway, you're familiar with the actor, the one called Saul in the show, Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yep.
here's what they said. He said, Mandy Patinkin warns the Obama administration was a cancer that affects the whole world globally.
Interesting, in view of what the Ayman had, or what the clerics over there in Iran said about him. And now we've got this state trooper saying, well, he's the one that's behind the Virginia gun grab. It all ties together. And I believe he is behind an awful lot of this. And I'd like to also make a comment. Do you remember, everyone, talking to everyone now, and also you, Larry, remember when Trump came out after the attack on the American base there in Iraq, the attack from Iran? And do you remember how halting he was and how very uncomfortable he appeared? And I noticed it almost immediately. What is going on with Donald Trump? This is not his normal demeanor. This is not his normal stance. He never halts. He's always running off at the mouth one way or another. And he was pausing in between whatever he was to say.
Yeah,
remember that, Larry? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, and I remember that clearly. And matter-of-factly, right after that, a lot of our allies really went into shock because, remember, Iran had did a missile attack of two waves of missiles on our base in Iraq, and we did nothing.
Yeah, okay. Now, this is from Hal Turner, but he's got some proof. So I want to, many killed and wounded in Iran attack. And I added in, how many lies are we going to be told? Or I think he did. And that's true. How many lies are we going to be told? On January 7th, 2020, this website reported that Iran had commenced a retaliatory missile attack against U.S. forces in the Middle East over the killing of their general, Soleimani. That story, updated as it happened, reported in a 6:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time bulletin. Reports coming in now say between 70 and 123 U.S. troops have been killed so far. Afterwards, the U.S. publicly denied any casualties and said only one helicopter was damaged. Today, we can confirm our original bulletin and worse. This website's original report can be found here. Now, I realize a lot of people, in fact, I got an email today, and you did too, Larry. How can you use a Hal Turner? I use anyone that's got news that appears to be accurate. That's my stance on it. If I can vet what's being said and it's true, what difference does it make where it came from? You know, if you're going to pass judgment on these people, we probably wouldn't have any news to bring. I got an email one time from somebody who says, well, you can't use anything that's not biblically sound. Well, okay, that then means I can't use any newspaper. I can't use any news from TV or radio. It's all secular. So therefore, if it's not Bible, it's not sound. Well, if you want to bury your head in the sand, go ahead and bury your head in the sand. I'm going to report the news if I can vet it and it looks accurate. And if people don't like it, they better tune out and move on, because there's not going to be anything here for you. Within that report, in our bulletin at 6:40 p.m. EST, casualty reports are shown below. Government lies, goes the subheadline. After the Iran missile attack, the U.S. government reported no casualties. This claim was repeated over and over in virtually every mass media outlet of note. And that includes Donald Trump. That's what he said. No Americans were hurt. Even CNN, in its coverage days later, reported the strike was the widest scale attack on a base housing U.S. troops in decades. Troops said the absence of casualties was nothing short of a miracle. Well, then we heard all kinds of news. They'd been forewarned, and so they moved away. Then we heard that the Iranian Ayatollah had said we deliberately did not target human life. So we did this and we did that. Right? That's what they said. Isn't that right, Larry?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now, today, the Hal Turner radio show can prove that there are, in fact, serious casualties. We can prove the government knew this. Thus, we thereby prove the government lied. And the mass media utterly failed to vet their reporting, which is now shown to be false. Below is a copy of a letter from the Office of the Chief Management Officer at the Pentagon. The letter, dated January 13th, reports total number of casualties, 285, 139 deceased, 146 injured, extensive damage. Now, I want to read the proof that he provides. Office of Chief Management Officer, 9010 Defense Pentagon, Washington, D.C. It's got the official seal of the Department of Defense. Dear so-and-so, it's got blacked out. This is in response to your January 10 Freedom of Information Act appeal concerning Iran's missile strike on the U.S. Ain al-Assad Air Base in Iraq on January 8th and its subsequent damages and casualties. Following detailed examination of U.S. Ain al-Assad Air Base by DOD Special Investigative Team, concluded estimates are as follows. Total number of casualties, 285, 139 deceased, 146 injured. Extensive damage to 15 helicopters, one Black Hawk, two cargo aircrafts, and three MQ-1 Predator drones. Extensive damage to base command center, three hangars, three barracks, 10 military tents. Relative damage to air traffic control tower and base's runway. Initial assessment, indicate mentioned damages will cause total impairment of the base activities for at least 3 weeks. Signed, James P. Hogan, Chief DOD FOIA Policy. What do you think, Larry?
I think we're not being told the truth. And, of course, for a number of years, going all the way back, you know, whether it's Obama, whether it's Bush, whether it's Clinton, we've been lied to a very, very long time. And I even remember the pictures that they were putting out on the Internet and the news agencies, and it didn't show but one blast site. And that's all been a lie.
Yep, it has. In fact, it was picked up on a British newspaper. They showed extensive damage. They had a bunch of pictures. Can't remember whether it was the Mail or one of those papers over there. But they're still just reporting 11 people with brain damage because of the blast wave. And it didn't show up right away, so that's why they said no one was injured. Somebody's not telling the truth. Personally, I think Donald Trump was ordered to say what he said, and he was very, very uncomfortable having to do it.
Well, Stuart,
I think he, go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I was going to mention also, according to the Israeli press and Debkafile and others, our missiles were not able to stop the Iranian ballistic missiles. Something went wrong. Even our drones in the air lost contact. So we were either we can't stop their missiles, or Russia's jamming all of our electronics, so we can't. And so the people also don't know that maybe we couldn't strike back because we didn't know what we had anymore.
I don't know if you folks remember, but we had an aircraft carrier and two other ships, I think, that were Margrav technology disabled. They went dead in the water, so to speak. This Margrav technology, if I'm pronouncing it right, is kind of like an EMP, which fries your electronics. And if they're using that, or they're just using jamming, where it doesn't fry the electronics but does jam them, we would not probably be able. And plus the fact, we don't really know what Iran has for missile technology. I mean, they're good buddies with China. They're good buddies with North Korea. They're good buddies with Russia. They're being given high technological weaponry, and probably may even have these new hypersonic cruise missiles that we have no defenses for. We can't stop them. Very, very dangerous. But it does fulfill the prophecies against America Babylon, because Babylon does not or has no defense when she's taken out. We don't. All of the missiles, according to the Bible prophets, hit their mark. Not one does not. That means we have no defense. Now, that's kind of scary. And this is one of the reasons, again, this is why Jesus Christ came here. You don't have any defense here. We are all in the matrix. The matrix is locked. The only one who has a key is Jesus Christ. If you don't go to him personally, as I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, you don't get the key to get out. This is where the problem is. Anyway, revealed U.S. military lost contact with drones overhead during the Iranian ballistic missile strike on Iraqi bases after fire severed the command link. U.S. Army was flying 7 drones over Iraq during the Iran strike on January 8th. One missile struck the fiber optic line that linked pilots to satellite antennas. Soldiers scrambled to lay new fiber. After the missile attack ended, all the drones, they claim, landed safely after the command link was restored. Now, that's not what that letter says. The letter says that we lost three Predator drones. I guess they were just on the ground. They weren't flying. What do you think, Larry? Is that true, or could that be jamming technology and we couldn't do anything?
Well, it could really be the jamming technology. We know that that's being operated by the Russians over Syria, and maybe they expanded it to over Iraq to cover Iran because they don't want us to hit Iran. What's interesting, Stuart, is at the same time of the Iranian missile attack, which is unorthodox for Israel, they stood down, if you will, militarily, made no moves, and it made no threats. The only thing was a very unprecedented slip of the tongue by Netanyahu, and the only thing he said was, he told certain nations, he said, Israel is a nuclear nation. Israel has never, never, never admitted that. And
yes,
that could only be considered as a threat to Iran, that if you hit us with missiles we can't stop, we'll nuke you.
Well, that kind of goes back to Barry Rossman's Bible code, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That somehow a nuclear holocaust over there gets prevented, at least temporarily. We do know from Isaiah chapter 17 that something flattens Damascus. We don't know exactly what it is. I mean, we thought maybe it's a nuclear bomb. It would only take one to flatten it. And then the fun starts, because then we have Daniel 8 we have to worry about. And remember on the other program I read to you the pause, a prophecy. I'm not telling people to believe it, but what did he say? If you think it's over, basically, I'm paraphrasing, forget it. It's not over. Iran is laying in the weeds. They're waiting for the proper time. And then we will be virtually eliminated out of the Middle East. Have you heard any more about the aircraft carriers or anything like that? Where are they? Have we still got one over there, or are they vacating them?
Well, it's not really well known what's going on over there. They're keeping a lot of this stuff secret. They're very concerned because a lot of missiles were moved towards the Iranian coast. And by the way, there was a really interesting note in Debkafile reporting and coming out of Israel that is, and you can go to Debkafile, debka.com, and look at it itself. And American media is not even covering it at all. It says U.S. forces withdrawn from NATO drill in Norway in face of rising Middle East tensions. 3,000 U.S. troops assigned to NATO are now relocating due to tensions with Iran to the Middle East.
So very quietly, we're building our manpower to the Middle East very, very rapidly. The last count I had, we'd be up there around 60,000 or more over there. And
it's hard to count, Stuart, because at the same time, we have carrier groups that have Marines with them, and we also have Marine transport or landing ships that are loaded with Marines en route and over there some too, and we don't know where they're all at or how many they are.
Yeah, and like Trump said, and he's very smart, you know, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do or how I'm going to do it or when I'm going to do it, which is, of course, the Democrats hate that concept, so they're trying to curtail him. I wanted to read a quote, though, from Donald Trump, and I want you to understand this in relationship to what's going on in Virginia and elsewhere about the gun controls. I am coming, this is Trump, I am coming to the conclusion that what is taking place is not an impeachment. It is a coup intended to take away the power of the people, their vote, their freedoms, their Second Amendment, religion, military, border wall, and their God-given rights as a citizen of the United States of America, President Donald Trump. Now, he has warned us before about what is actually going on, and yet I see absolutely nothing happening with the American people. You know, normally, Larry, in a situation like this, they would be flooded with telephone calls, letters, email, and the voices would be rising all over. I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything
well, Stuart,
at all.
Stuart, it's like either America is comatose, and that's the best word I can use, totally comatose, and probably a lot of people hadn't been in school long enough to understand that word anyway, but it's either that or I don't
Excuse
know where
me.
They are. Maybe they're all on another planet and you and I are on some place called Earth.
Yeah, I guess that is it. I don't know either. Genocidal Virginia governor trying to disarm his state's black citizens blinded by Trump move to destroy state. Now, I haven't had a chance to really read this one. This is from that Sort Your Fall. But I have not heard a word from Donald Trump about what's going on in Virginia. Has he said anything at all yet?
As far as I know, Stuart, total silence. I've been noting, though, and I don't know if you've been watching, but a lot of the military people standing with him in some of these programs on TV news, they have
mm-hmm.
very grim looks on their faces.
Well, I noticed when Trump was giving that speech where he said nobody got hurt, I'm sure he knew that that wasn't true at all. He was the general, Milley, and I can't remember who the other one was on the other side of him. They looked very, very somber. I don't even know if somber is a word. That was not a good deal. I hope you guys remember The Matrix, the movie The Matrix. It's an interesting quote. It's changed, but it takes a take the blue pill and wake up in your bed as if nothing happened. And you can remain a willing slave of the Democratic plantation. Take the red pill, stay here with the freedom that Republicans have won for us, the freedom that is here if you want it. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's a new take.
So what else have you got, Larry, before we close?
Well, I was trying to look at my notes real quick here. There is another post real quick from Fox News that talks about an isolated Ayatollah. Iran's supreme leader lashes out at European powers as Trump sanctions vice tightens. So a lot of this, all of this stuff kind of dovetails back into Barry Rothman's Torah Code.
Yeah, and that guy gets assassinated, I guess, or it says dead or killed. So, again, folks, don't forget, I can't remember what his name was. He was commander of NATO, and he comes back to America, and he's in the Pentagon, and some general motions him downstairs and says he wants to talk to him, so he goes downstairs, and he's told they don't know what the reason is that seven nations in the Middle East are to be toppled, all part, of course, of the New World Order in the 10 bioregions of the United Nations. It's all coordinated. It's all coming together. Got to give credit, folks, where credit is due. These guys are so intelligent, you wouldn't believe it. And they have planned for every detail. And the Bible says they're going to win. Jesus Christ says to them, you want the world? I'm going to give it to you for a very short time, and then all of you are going to hell. So I guess they've chosen they want planet Earth for a couple weeks rather than an eternity in heaven. So that's just the way it is. Anyway, any final word, Larry?
I would, with what's going on, I would be very watchful about where I go throughout this weekend, and especially beginning with the impeachment and the Monday situation in Virginia. If any of this begins to pop off, it's going to have effects all over the country.
Yeah, it will, and it'll go down very, very rapidly. So that's why Larry and I have for a long time now warned people, get ready, make sure you got water, make sure you got food, make sure you can hunker down. Anyway, thanks a lot, everyone, for listening. You take care of yourselves. Heads up, your redemption does draw near, and we'll see you, if the Lord is willing, the next time. Thank you. Good night.